No Jumper, coolest podcast of the world. I'm here today with my new friend, Braden Safransky.
What's up, guys?
Really cool guy, skateboarder, business owner, entrepreneur. I've been drunk as fuck millions of times at your establishment, Black, in Hollywood. And overall, just a cool-ass dude. Swinging guy around Los Angeles is how I would put it. Thoughts on that? You consider yourself a bit of a man about town?
I mean, I've been there, done that.
That's what I'm saying. You give off that vibe.
Everything.
That you've done it all, seen it all, true or false?
True.
Or at least a lot of
false.
It. Okay, because we were...
I mean, I still have a big bucket list, but...
Really?
That also... I mean, every time I knock off one, you end up getting two more.
Right.
So as I get older, it gets longer and longer and longer.
And you're at Coachella, which is the ultimate epicenter of your jaded... lifestyle, right? Because you've been here 11 times and you're that guy. You're like, it used to be so great. Everything's changed. Shout out to Weed Maps for sponsoring this, by the way.
Thank you, Weed Maps.
But do you feel like you're that jaded guy? Like,
I'm completely jaded by Coachella.
Okay.
Unfortunately, anybody who has been there, done that, and seen it back in the day before all the cops and all the pussy ass bitch, you have to go through 4 checkpoints to even get inside.
Right.
I don't know. It's not what it used to be.
Was it just a big field? You're making it sound like it was fucking Woodstock or something.
It was
back
Woodstock
in the day.
Back in the day.
Right.
It was everybody doing something dumb in every direction. Like,
okay.
And nobody to say anything. It was a field day of fun.
Right.
And now it's...
But take yourself 11 years ago. Yourself 11 years ago. And
well,
you're coming to this.
That's the thing.
What would you think of it? You think you'd have fun?
Oh, yeah.
Your 11-year younger self?
I was a little baby back then.
Yeah.
Back then, you can do anything. Literally every single day was the best day of your life.
Right.
So maybe it was that, maybe it was this, but I mean, now for me, I just enjoy coming out here and going to house parties and things like this where I can sit back, enjoy good bud, hang out and do whatever.
Hang out at the Weed Maps house.
Yep.
We're trying to turn it into the PCP house. If anyone wants to hit us up with some hard drugs. I'm just kidding. For those who don't know, I'm just kidding. Maybe.
I was like, eh.
No, because you made one remark to me one time when we were posted up outside of Brooklyn Project. Shout out to our man Dom. And we were about to roll a blunt. And this is when I was brand new to the block. I've only been on the block for
a
week.
You've only been on the block for less than a month, I would say.
I'm
brand new.
Brand fucking new. But downtown is a scarier block to survive,
like,
bro.
Okay, what's up?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm such a fake ass member of the fraternity. Like, yeah. Are you going to, you're revealing this to me now?
There's like a mayor of Melrose. Then there's like the
Okay,
governor.
Well, who's the mayor?
Oh, that's Steve Olson.
Okay.
Yeah, like you'll see him at 5 o'clock in the morning, or you'll see him at fucking. It doesn't matter what hour.
What's Dom?
Dom is fucking. He's just Brooklyn Dom from Melrose. Like,
right.
I don't really know his term because he would be more of a governor.
Okay.
Like, he literally. He's just that dude that everybody on the block knows.
Right.
He's always outgoing. He's always fucking got a big smile on his face.
Are you a knight or a jester?
Me, I'm a knight.
Oh, really? And what have you done to earn that? Have you been knighted? Who knighted you?
Steve Olson knighted me a few times.
Okay. No, because okay,
way,
this is the one thing that you said. We just interlocked fingers, by the way. That was super gay. I just want to say this, is that we were about to light a blunt on the street. I was like, is this cool for us to smoke outside Brooklyn Projects? And you're like, bruh, I've been doing this for 15 years since it was a felony. And I thought that was so funny because, like, I don't have that perspective. Like, ever since I moved to L.A., weed was already nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's literally a joke now. You can fucking look at the cops and you're like,
yeah.
And they just fucking stick out a piece and keep going. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
and we really take it for granted because it's not so kosher in the rest of the United States or world.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Vegas where it was literally they pulled out a lint roller and fucking went through your car and they were like, here's a seed.
That happened
That's
to you as a kid.
Felony. Like,
as a kid, that happened to you.
I mean, no, luckily, I mean, that did happen, but luckily I got away with it 2 different times.
Right.
Where some bullshit, somebody's family was membered to some officer or something, and we ended up getting out of it.
Right. Whew. So L.A. versus Vegas. You moved at what age?
17.
17. And to be a skater?
I mean, for just everything. Like,
but were you already, like, on the
verge
of going pro?
Close? I moved to L.A. and was slept on the streets. Like, I moved there with some cats. 2 weeks later, ended up beating up one of the kids I lived with, and then... I got kicked out on the streets, convinced my mom that I was living at these people's houses, but really I was finding big-ass trees in Venice and, like, did that for, like, 8 months.
Climbing trees?
Like no. Just, like, shade.
Sleep
so
under the
you
tree,
don't
right.
Fucking wake up at 5 a.m. to the blistering sun. Like,
right.
Did that for...
So you would have rather have been homeless in L.A. than have a home in Vegas?
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it to this day.
But did it seem sexy to you, or was it just necessary?
No, it doesn't matter. I have a one-track mind.
It was all skateboarding.
The way I think is when I get focused or when I love something, there's nothing else in the world that matters to me.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a little kid, all I did was played soccer, or I just was outside constantly, but mainly soccer. I found a guitar, and I was like, oh, this is tight. Like, started playing it, and then I found a skateboard a couple months later. And it's been fucking a wrap. Like, literally, there's not been anything or anyone or anything that's kept me away or non-focused. It's just...
But you can't be as focused on skateboarding now as you were when you were 17, right? What's changed?
I think I'm more focused on it now than I've ever been.
Really?
I went through my downtime in my 20s where, just like anybody, if you do things for long enough and you start going places and then, you know... I felt...
You got jaded to it a little bit,
yeah, it just felt like, you know, every demo... You never skated for yourself anymore. You went somewhere and there was kids that fucking... And then you had to do the tricks that you were known for and whatever.
How much money you're making.
Exactly. Kind of, you turn into a little dick and a fucking piece of shit and whatever. And now I hit a wall one day. And that was around 29. And ever since then, like, I realized what I was giving up to become this new fucking whatever the fuck I
cool
cared.
Hipster,
yeah,
I
didn't
drunk,
give a shit about,
guy.
You know
that,
what I mean?
That was what you were becoming for a while, and it took away from the
exactly. Well, it was, I mean, not cool hipster, drunk, dirty guy.
You're
definitely
a
drunk fucking
LA.
Whatever. And yeah, being at that age and knowing everybody, yeah, you're pretty much a hipster and this and that. So yes, drunk, hipster, cool, hip, fucking drunk guy.
Well, we all know what it is because...
But like, yeah, you just don't like to hear it or say it in person. But
I mean, you moved to LA because you have a passion and you got something that you want to pursue. And then all of a sudden... You figure out about going to clubs. You figure out about coke.
Well, no, that was the thing is that I luckily I met Chad Muska and a bunch of people, and he introduced me to the scene.
Uh-huh.
And
so he was your entry point to the scene for
yeah.
the most part, really.
Yeah.
And what era Muska was this? What year are we talking? Peak backpack Muska?
Yeah, no. That was when he still skated every day.
Okay, but
no,
so he was over it at this point when you met him.
This was Hollywood Muska.
Okay.
Like, this was dating Paris Hilton.
Right.
Fucking the whole nine.
So did he get you into all that?
Yeah, that's... So he, like, instantly at 18 started introducing me to all these people and this and that. And, I mean, it was tight. And it's still tight. And I'm very thankful because I know everybody can do whatever. But as I got older, yeah. I started
you bang
to
Paris
lose
Hilton?
More focus of who gives a shit about...
You have sex with Paris Hilton?
I started losing more focus about who gives a shit about
one of her
this
friends,
and
maybe.
And then...
just totally not having it.
Boom, boom. You already know. But no, skateboarding is better than it's ever been.
Okay, but what is your... Like, what do you get out of skateboarding these days? Like, what is the thing that drives you to go out and do a kickflip every day?
What do you
day?
Not get out of skateboarding?
I want to know what is still driving you at this point because you've
everything
been doing it for
so long. Everything still
drives me. I'm a BMX rider, but I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of bored with it.
When you get on your bike
yes.
and you just fucking cruise down the street, do
right.
you not just get a sensation through you that
the
you're like,
cruising
I feel
does
better
it.
Than
the
I've
cruising.
Ever felt?
I love the
Let's
cruising.
Say you're in a fight with your girl. Let's say you're in a fucking this and that or blah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You get on your bike, everything disappears, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. Same thing in skating.
Mm-hmm.
It's I get on my board, and I can fucking literally bomb down the street. I don't even bomb down. Just hearing the cracks
mm-hmm.
and the sounds. Or maybe even hitting a pebble and eating shit and getting some blood scraping down your arm. You're
mm-hmm.
like, thank you, God.
But do you have to do some tricks to have had the full skate experience
no.
for the day?
No.
So what is an average day out skating then?
Lots of tricks.
But going out with a couple of the homies, filming,
no,
go to
yeah,
skate park,
I mean,
what are you
my
doing?
My shit is like, I'm in my 30s, yo. We do a thing. We hang out with like, it's, fuck, I can't even explain it anymore. It's more or less like me and a bunch of fucking, a small group of roll dogs
uh-huh.
that are been there, done that. And kids that are just coming up in the game, but very
small. So you
guys
do hang out with young kids, too?
Yeah, but they're very small elite group.
They have to really be valid, right?
Yeah, I mean, you already know how it is. Every couple kids, every million fucking kids, there's that one dude that you're like, this little
That's the kid, yeah.
Like, I fucking love being around
Even if they're not necessarily good or anything, but just personality-wise, you're like, I could be in a van with you.
It doesn't have to be anything to do with how good you are.
Right.
Literally just fucking hanging out at the park, you're making us all laugh. Neckface doesn't really skateboard. He fucking sits there and makes you laugh all day
He'll
long.
Come out skating with you a bunch?
Every day.
Really?
Like, he goes skating and has... He is a skateboarder. He can kill it on a skateboard. He can do whatever, but he doesn't skate as much as... You know what I mean? Like,
right.
we go somewhere, he starts tagging.
Yeah.
He starts doing his thing and whatever and whatever. But his moral support and his fucking energy being there is more than enough. You don't need...
He kind of, like, proves to the extreme that skateboarding isn't just about skateboarding because he's so part of it and so on a different wavelength, but... his contribution is so...
He is a skateboarder though, at the end of the day, but...
But it's like the tagging is like his version of like doing a trick in a sense. Like
well,
that,
it's his
but
version
he's still,
of anarchy.
But, and then the skateboarding is more transportation in a way. Like, don't you think, like, because that, like, that's what I think about a lot, the transportation versus the freestyle aspect of it. Because
well,
I love the transportation aspect.
Though, but your world is different than ours.
Because it's a little bit more efficient.
Tons of different transportation.
Right.
And every fucking man, woman, child, everybody does it. You know what I mean? It's one of them staples as a little kid. You learn how to ride a bike.
Right.
Skateboarding's more or less like, most people don't even know how to stand on a motherfucking board.
I know. It's a very strange thing.
So being able to use it for travel is kind of already, most people are out. And then if you do have it to that point, you're going to want to learn how to ollie.
I think skateboarding.
You're going to want to learn how to fucking
skateboarding is about going to the store, the 7-Eleven. It's like, that's like, in terms of just transportation, don't you feel like that's kind of the ideal length that you want to go is like a few blocks if you're not?
I don't know, man. I mean, I personally think skateboarding is the coolest thing in the world.
Well,
I'll fucking
cool
ride it to New York if I could.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just one of those things. I'm not a longboarder. I'm not a fucking push-arounder. Like,
right.
I just enjoy the every aspect of four wheels down, a piece of wood, and a piece of metal in between them.
Right.
To me, that's life as I know it. And it's the only life I give a fuck to ever know.
Do you feel completely in touch with, like, the skateboarding industry or scene? Or is that something that you've really kind of lost interest in to a certain extent?
To a certain extent, I lost interest. I mean, I definitely feel in touch with the scene because it's my life, you know what I mean? And I stare at it and I fucking study every new kid coming up and everything to do with it and whatever. But yeah, I mean, after my falling out with Baker and my everything else with a couple other things, it was like, I did watch a lot of people turn their heads on me and treat me, oh, is this and this. And fuck everybody for that, you know what I mean? And for me, because of that, I've gotten stronger and more in tune to who I am, and who I am is, I don't give a fuck. As long as I'm on my skateboard, I'm happy.
Well, see, that's interesting, because you're like a young kid, you come out, you go pro, that becomes your whole identity in a certain way, right? Like, you're one of those guys, you're making a good living off skateboarding, you're killing it, you have the respect of your peers, and then at a certain point, it, you know, for everybody, it falls apart, it kind of slowly fades away. So was that, like you said, that you understood yourself better after that transition where you sort of had the falling out with Baker and everything. Was that a weird thing for you to figure out who you were without being a pro skater?
I mean, for me personally, I mean, I don't know what that means by not being a pro skateboarder, because if you went to college for 15 years or 10 years to become a lawyer and then you get fired from a firm, are you not a lawyer anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
You're still a fucking lawyer. You can go get hired by somebody else. You can do whatever you want. So, I mean, I still had plenty of things for sale, just it wasn't a pro skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, I mean, if anything, it was more or less the biggest eye-opener and the best experience that ever happened to me. Because I was treated and babied by Andrew Reynolds like everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all taught to be this certain person.
I don't know how we're going to... Let me hold it for you while we roll up.
Oh. What do you got?
Boom. Look at that. Dual access.
Thank you.
Double fist.
But no, I was taught by Andrew. I was taught by all these people. And, you know, you lose those guys, and it's instantly like, okay, where do I start from here?
Mm-hmm.
And where do I go? And then I started to realize that, like, thank you for that happening, because it taught me to actually grow the fuck up and become the man that I was supposed to be.
Right.
And whatever. And that's, unfortunately, what I see through Baker, through other people and other teams and whatever, is that you're found as a kid and you're taught to be a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you never grow the fuck up. And that was my big blessing, was getting kicked off, because it taught me to be the fucking man I am.
Right.
And like, if it wasn't for that, I don't know where I'd be. I'd still be one of those lost fucking just doing my thing, being alcoholic, give a fuck. Instead, now it's like, yeah, we're having a beer or two, smoking a joint. But when have you ever heard of weed ever hurting nobody?
Yeah.
When have you ever heard of whatever? Like, we can do our own thing. And it just taught me to be more of a businessman.
Right.
It was a blessing.
Yeah, because you do have a couple of different investments, different things you started. There's the Happy Hour sunglasses. There's Black, the bar that I mentioned before. Is there anything else significant that I should know about?
Yeah, I mean, that I know about? Yeah.
Wait, what else?
No, so I started, me and Atiba started a comfort brand called Goods.
And this is the new thing, right?
Yeah,
okay.
So it's robes and pajamas, boxers, fucking anything you can think of that would make somebody a little bit more comfortable than you already should be.
Right.
Pretty much what we're wearing right here, some sandals and some other things, like comfort brand.
I hope nobody criticizes my feet. That's really going to hurt.
Them nasty ass things.
I haven't got a pedicure ever, to be honest with you. So is that a big focus of yours right now, this comfort brand?
Yeah, I mean, between that and I mean, my main focus right now is, like always, it's skating.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I got only so much time that I can push boundaries. I see these fucking 8-year-olds board sliding Hollywood 16 that you're like, all right, you got to step game up.
Well, is that your feeling? It's like, oh, there's a ticking clock, and like, I want to be able to still do this I have a chance. Because you're still progressive. But
it's not a ticking clock and not more progressive in my world. But at the same time, it's like, for what my body can produce and what I've seen from everybody else, you know what I mean? It is kind of that. Like, it's not the clock, it is the clock. But it's the worst way of the clock, because some people can go to 50.
Yeah.
And some people shatter at 23. You know what I mean? So it's the weird mental clock that I don't know. But in my head, I'm like, well, fuck. Skateboarding's so new that you got to think about it. The oldest dudes are only 50.
Right.
So,
which is weird. Think about it.
We don't really know how long they're going to skate for. You know what I mean?
It'd be cool to have like 80 year olds who used to be pros. Yeah. We don't have 80 year olds who used to be pros. That's weird. We need that.
How long has BMX been the fucking
joke? Late 70s, kind of. It was like a weird transition because it went, hey, can I tell you a funny story about Atiba and me?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
Because I fuck up this joint a little bit.
So Alfredo got me this photo shoot back in the day for this like shoe company, whatever. Atiba's shooting the photos. I didn't know he was going to be the one shooting the photos. Obviously, I know who Atiba is. So I show up, and I'm the only BMX guy. It's a bunch of skate pros. And Atiba is taking the photos, and he asked me if I can like 180 over this like post on Venice Beach that's like, you know, that high or whatever. And I did it.
Is it on Venice? I mean, is it in Venice like or Santa Monica? Right by the pier.
I think it was in Venice. Okay. But it's like I tried it. I did it. But his photo looked bad. Like, he didn't, you know, he doesn't really know, like, how it's supposed to look. BMX so much. So I was like, can I do that again? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, because you know? I'm actually confused. How is a BMX photo supposed to be compared to a skate photo? Because we want the perfect catch, back foot.
Right. It's kind of like you want to, you know, there's a lot of different things. You want your arms to be, like, in this case, it was a 180 or a pull. You want your arms to be kind of straight. You want your knees to be tucked up nice. You know, it just didn't really look right. But from his perspective, he didn't really know. I was like, I'm going to do it again. I do it again. I fucking crack my... I gave myself a concussion.
Of course.
For like, and right in front of, I looked up to the guy and I just, boom, smashed my head in front of him. I felt so fucking stupid. And I always see him at black and he doesn't remember, I don't think.
You felt stupid, but the reality is, you know, he felt even stupider. Because the last thing, it's how it always works. Oh, hey, dude, that was beautiful, but can you try it one more time? And then that next try, they shatter and break their leg or something like that.
From his perspective,
like,
yeah.
My bad.
He kept telling me what a legend I was. He kept going, oh my God, dude, you're crazy. You're a legend. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm an idiot.
I mean, that's the fact that you got up and just were bleeding all over the place and whatever. I'm pretty sure that.
Well, when you knock yourself out, you're like a child, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's so embarrassing.
Atiba was there the only time I've ever knocked myself. Oh, no, shit.
You only knocked yourself once in your whole career.
Yeah. Damn. I've only hit my head twice in my whole life, and it was at Hollywood 16 and Hollywood 12.
Wow.
And Atiba was the photographer for both of them.
Right.
And
well, he pretty much like lives there. That's his job, is just to go to Hollywood High every weekend.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've seen him there once time with like 40 dudes trying tricks at the same time, and that just doesn't happen in BMX. I was just so blown away.
I mean, is there even 40 fucking BMXers out there?
Is there 40 tricks you could do on the Hollywood 16? Yes, but
I'm
it wouldn't kidding, be
guys.
Very hard.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's okay. You can go
I
in
grew
on
up
us.
A BMXer.
Was there a time where you thought BMX was super whack?
No,
you weren't one of those guys?
No.
It's a lot of skaters who are like that. It's okay.
I personally grew up a BMXer. When we were kids, it was our Vegas crew was me, three other skaters, two rollerbladers, and three BMXers.
That's tight.
And that was like the crew on the weekends. Because, you know, this is the fucking 90s. There
especially
was no goddamn,
you didn't have
like,
a ton of people.
There
yeah.
was no, there was three of us. Mm. Maybe there was like Kenny Anderson, the older crowd, but we didn't know any of them older dudes. We were just like... the little idiots, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, of course, it got a little bit better and bigger, and there was a couple more. But, yeah, it was a small clique of us.
Right. Could you ever live anywhere besides Southern California now? You stuck for life?
Never say never to anything.
Uh-huh.
Never stuck for anything. But definitely, I moved there when I was 17, and now I've been there for 17 years.
Right.
And, I mean...
You haven't managed to hate it yet?
No, I mean, I did. And then that was right after at 29. And I took a year where I was like, hey, I'm just going to fucking go on a music festival tour. And I just put all my shit in storage, grabbed a bag, and left for 11 months. And went to like 8 different music festivals around the world. And then fucking and ended up in New York.
Traveled and stuff in between?
Yeah, just posted in those countries and shit.
Skating
like
or
weeks.
Just hanging out?
No, I was on full. That was during my era.
Party
I
mode.
I don't give a fuck.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, so I just went into heavy partying, heavy do whatever I wanted. And then, yeah, that was when I woke up one day in New York City in Brooklyn and was like, just woke up looking at a wall and was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I need to go home.
But like, were you bad with the drugs or was it always a distraction?
No, it was just a distraction. Okay. Like, I think my worst time with drugs was when I, before I was 18.
Really?
Because when I was 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
the night after Christmas, I got like a shot or two from my parents, you know what I mean, at a Christmas party like a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the night after Christmas, I ended up drinking. I mean, my friend came over. We grabbed a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I just remember, like, holding it up.
As a 17-year-old?
No, 12.
12, oh, my God.
And then I woke up, and my whole family's around me, and I was in the hospital, and, like, chest hurt and whatever, and they were like, yeah, you died. And we had to bring you back to life, and then you died again. You died in the ambulance. They brought me back to life. Then they brought me back to life at in the hospital. And after that, I was scared shitless of alcohol.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't drink till I was like 17 or something like that. But I found out what weed was pretty much the like a month before that. And I was like, oh, well, weed's fucking casual. You know what I mean? And that led into heavy acid, heavy hallucinogens. And so my drug eras were pretty much before there. I learned how to skateboard on drugs.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like that was my era of drugs. But it was good because I had a crazy mom and a crazy whatever. So you were never out of control, you know what I mean? And we were also poor. You couldn't fucking, I mean, not poor. You just couldn't afford to fucking.
Well, that's the problem is that then you become a pro skateboarder. All of a sudden, you can afford as much blow as you want for a while.
You can afford anything after you catch those right contracts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean? And you had the right contracts for a while. Were you really killing it financially for a minute there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean.
How many years was that you felt like you were really killing it?
Five?
Yeah.
And I mean, I got a lot of good things done out of that, and I mean, I'm still very much killing it because I opened
with
a lot
skating.
Of very good businesses,
business-wise,
and
yeah.
my businesses are killing it, and I still have very much good sponsors and people who take care of me and this and that, but that was, there was like 5 years where it was every week phone calls from more people, hey, we want to throw fucking so much money at you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool, fuck it, like, let's do this, let's do that, like...
Okay, but with Black and with Happy Hour and all the things that have gone right with you business-wise, like, to what do you credit that? Do you feel like you have that level of foresight, or did you just happen to know the right people and be in the right spots? Because a lot of times with investments, they don't go so well, but you seem like you've done pretty well.
I just think that I mean, I've gotten really lucky because my stepdad is an insane, smart accountant slash has... succeeded pretty well in Vegas in like real estate and other things that he's killed it with during, and this is all, you know, in 2008 and afterwards when the big crisis happened.
Right.
So he's just taught me, and I've watched him my whole life, like learning from his business ups and downs, and then from failures that I've had over and over and over, you know, you just got to keep moving forward that whatever happens. And the more positive, the more things you do, you know, I attracted the right businessmen and business propositions and whatever, where, I mean, now we have some really good companies. And like you said, you've drinking it Black a million times. So don't ever stop and think that you can't come to Hollywood and have a beer at my fucking great bar.
But is that weird for you owning a bar? A bar is typically for most people, there's no responsibility involved. You just go there.
The
you act as
fucking job.
You act as dumb
have.
As you want. But do you feel like a little degree of responsible?
No,
you
no,
need
no,
to be responsible
no, no,
when you're there. No,
no, no, no. The only responsibility I have is my little brother's one of the managers there, and I have to calm him down when he has a bad night because some fucking douchebag customers were like screaming, and sometimes dudes are throwing bottles at people's heads. And
it gets wild there sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a funny bar because it's like Monday through Wednesday.
It's a bar.
Monday through
LA.
Wednesday, it's pretty chill. You could go in there, have a couple drinks, hang out with your friends, have a conversation. And then all of a sudden, is it Thursday or Friday these days where it just becomes one of the most popular bars in Hollywood with a line out the friggin' door, out the window.
Well, it's Club Black.
Yeah.
As soon as it hits the weekend.
When did it become that? Was it like that from the beginning?
Yeah.
Where it was just,
which is funny because we wanted to open a dive bar.
And how long did this
and
open?
We were like, the whole thing was, it's 3 years in January. So it was 3 years in January.
So I guess it was around for about a year before we started going there a lot.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's never slowed down since day one.
Really?
Like it just, we started promoting on Instagram and this and that. We started doing, I mean, it was the right group of people, and it was the right time. And it's fucking alcohol. Like, if you have a great day, you go drink. If you have a bad day, you go have a drink. Mm-hmm. Like, it's recessionable proof.
Recession proof, yeah.
Thank you. Recessionable.
Recessionable. If there was like a ledge here, that would be sessionable.
That would be sessionable.
That ledge is sessionable.
That kind of is sessionable. It has a metal edge.
Yeah, I don't know. You might be being a little optimistic there, but wax, you can do a lot with wax.
I mean, as you get older, it's
it's a real necessity. Yeah. Or you thought you were too cool for wax at a certain point in your life?
I grew up with Kenny Anderson, and that motherfucker believed that, like, yo, you waxed and led you a bitch.
Really?
Like, brand new. They just cemented it the day before.
Right.
And it's got dust and whatever, and he'll backtail 25 feet. Dude, you're like, that doesn't make sense.
That was always a thing in BMX, is that dudes would be like, oh, it's so whack for you to wax a ledge or whatever. And I'm thinking, you don't realize that skateboarders waxing all these ledges is the only reason that any of these spots are already spots. Like, a rail doesn't need wax. But a lot of ledges, like, they are spots because somebody sat there and waxed the fuck out of it.
That's why we travel to certain spots, because that certain marble is like...
Yeah.
You can't
but
beat it.
With wax, you could turn something that you would never want to grind into something that you could session all day, every day.
Red LA paint. That's all you need.
See, you guys are lucky you can ride the tiny little curbs.
LA, whatever paint they
use. You still want to throw some wax on it, right?
No.
No?
That's the fastest wax you can ever use, and it goes as long as that paint is on there.
Right.
It's unbelievable what red paint can do.
All right, riddle me this. So, a lot of times...
What you need to be riddled?
I'm riddling. A lot of times, people, I feel like... they hit that wall, whether it's, you know, rap music, BMX, skateboarding, where when they're 14, they love it so much that everything that they can see about it, they love it so much. And then they hit a wall where maybe they're 20, 25 or whatever, where all of a sudden it's just all this new rap sucks. All these new skateboarders are just doing the shit we already seen. You're not there.
What do you mean?
Like, you're not at the point where you see a 16-year-old kid and you're like, it's boring. I already seen all these tricks before.
I have an addictive personality. Mm-hmm. I have a one-track mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I will die obsessed with skateboarding. Like, nothing in the fucking world will deter me from skateboarding. Mm-hmm. It's literally all I think about. It's when I go to sleep. I'm like, oh, my God, if you're thinking about some chick or you're on some bullshit and blah, 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 you got 99 problems, but a skateboard ain't one. Like, it'll literally put me into peace. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I have a one-track mind. You're going to have to cripple me before I can set down a board and go, okay, well, that's not my main focus. Mm-hmm. And even when it's not my main focus, damn right that I want to fucking become not a coach or anything else, but I'm going to fucking obsess over it.
Still be an advocate for those kids, you know? Because if you really love it, you should be just as happy about the 16-year-old kid getting into it as you were when you were 16.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I wasn't into football. I wasn't in anything. But I see these football fanatics, you know what I mean? And I see how it's a family trait no matter what. And I mean, I imagine that if I have kids, I'm not going to be one of them fucking Niger dads or them crazy fanatics about it. But if they want to skate, and even if they don't want to, they are going to know that skateboarding is 100% part of our family.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there'll always be boards on my wall. There'll always be things that, like,
would you be
represent that, and everybody around that's going to come, and Uncle Blah 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 is a pro skater, right, and Uncle Blah Blah Blah. So,
would you be bummed if you had a kid and they just ended up spending all the time on the computer? Like, they weren't really experiencing life
man,
in the way you got to?
Anything that my kid wants to do. Right. Anything. And unfortunately, we're in a new era that as much as you want to take them outside and you want to fucking introduce them to every sport and this and that, the computer world is the world.
Right.
That is, we're all plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I to be the hypocrite when dad's on Instagram or fucking mom's doing this and that? And so, fuck it. You know what I mean? It's the easiest way to make $1 billion under 30.
So it's funny, though, because the way that the media has changed, it used to be that you, as a skater, you just went out and killed it. And then one day, hopefully, you got acknowledged by a filmer or a magazine. They want to put you in there. It used to be that you just did your thing, and then at some point, somebody noticed you. But now it's you have to market yourself.
No, kids, I mean, it's crazy, though. But it's cool, but it's crazy. Because now we just go and find a kid on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. I looked you up and this and that. But the reality is that, I don't know. I grew up old school, and I like it old school. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's rad that somebody like Sid Vicious could die at 21, but there's so many stories.
Mm.
And there wasn't Instagram. There wasn't whatever. These are people who passed on story to story to story. You know what I mean? And I like that about rock stars. I like that about older people and whatever. And now
you kind of fetishize
exactly
that, the idea of dying young? You're a bit of a rock star.
I mean, I just think whenever you die, you die. Fuck it.
If you died right now, would you feel like you left a lot of things undone?
No. No.
Feel like the you did it all. You did what you needed to do.
No, no, man. I need to cover a Thrasher. I'm gonna keep working goddamn life away till I get that someday.
Right.
Like that's my number one goal in skating.
You have other magazine covers, just
yeah,
not
I
Thrasher.
I got a few. Okay. But not the fucking the big one. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, well, okay. What is it about Thrasher that makes it such an eternally legendary brand, even in the eyes of somebody like you who's been around the block a million times?
Thrasher, baby. That's all you got to say.
Right.
They've been there and done that. They've seen everything.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing that, like, they haven't pushed a boundary with.
Mm-hmm.
Go hang out with Jake Phelps for a fucking weekend and then tell me that you ain't fucking either going, holy shit, Thrasher, or whatever. And I love that they don't give a fuck. They're not, no matter how much money, they can become a billion-dollar company overnight, and they will not fucking change for mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're this, you're that person?
They don't care. Okay, but how do you, if you're Thrasher, how the fuck do you straddle the line between being the most legendary skateboarding brand, arguably, of all time, and then you're also, like, realistically one of the most popular t-shirts on non-skateboarders of all time right now? How do you do that? Like, that doesn't make sense that a brand should be able to do both at the same time.
Yeah, it does. Tony Vitella is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Jake Phelps is a genius. Everybody works over at Thrasher's are geniuses.
But there's been a lot of good brands over the years that got ruined by overexposure, and it doesn't seem like people make jokes about Thrasher shirts, but it doesn't seem like it really.
It doesn't matter if you make a joke, if you do whatever. It's like saying, fuck you, Rolling Stone magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, people are still going to go, that's still Rolling Stone magazine.
No, but nobody cares about Rolling Stone. Thrasher has such a better image than Rolling Stone.
Well, I understand that, but you know what I mean. Well, first off, Thrasher is the king of fucking every magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Every magazine in the world. Go fuck yourself if you disagree. I don't care. Truly, it is the key. It's my Bible. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I think it's the fully fuck you approach of they don't care. And the more they say they don't care, the fucking further they've gotten. And the reality is they really don't care.
Do you watch Skateline every week?
No.
No? You don't think it's funny?
I think he's fucking amazing. But I don't watch him every week. No,
right.
I'm not going to say I'm a fucking computer idiot, but I just don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I look up my sites, and I'll do it, like, every couple weeks or this and that.
Couple weeks?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're below. That's behind the times. I got to look every day.
Oh, I know you do. You have a show.
And yeah, but, man, if there's some good stuff coming out, and you got to, I don't want to be behind the curve on that.
No, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm literally out skating.
I think that's cool that you don't care, but I don't know if I could live like that.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. Most people can't. But that's why I have my small group of fucking people, Brandon Beeble, a couple other people that, like, we wake up, we hit the fucking canyon, we do something else. Like, it's nonstop.
You say you hit the candy?
Canyon.
Oh, the candy.
Candy comes at nighttime.
Okay.
I'm like a sugar fucking fanatic. Yeah, I can't stand it. Like,
did you kind of replace hard drugs with candy at a certain point, or did you do them all at the same time?
I just love candy. I've always loved candy.
What's your favorite candy if you walk into 7-Eleven?
Oh, in 7-Eleven? Ooh.
Or do you need the expensive stuff?
No. I mean, there's my every night candy. I love Reese's. I love.
I'm on that right now.
Yeah.
I'm on the Reese's right now.
Getting it. I love anything chocolate that you put in the freezer. Get it super and.
Oh, see, I don't do that. That's smart. Yeah.
So the Reese's freezer, boom, suck on it till it just melts in your mouth. Boom, you already know. Then Twix, that's an all day.
Ooh, that's good too. Yeah.
There's always. Then I have to have.
I like the white chocolate Hershey bars.
Yeah, see, I don't
or
like
dark
white chocolate,
Milky Way. Or
I
no,
like white chocolate. I love, you know what it is? Yeah. Snickers. Am I getting older?
I go through hardcore because it's a classic.
Because all of
a Butterfinger,
like now,
just a simple Butterfinger.
Yeah, that's, well,
I love
see,
that.
Butterfinger was when I was a little kid and all about The Simpsons, and every day I wanted a Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not into The Simpsons as much. And
it's not funny
whatever,
anymore, no.
Well, I mean, it's still pretty funny. It's just like, I don't go down that far on the channels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the hundreds, not fucking channels.
So you still
11.
Watch TV. You're not on your phone so much, but you're still clicking through the channels.
No. I barely, I mean, my little brother, I live with him, and he's a TV fucking junkie. Like, the TV for me doesn't come on until after 7, but it's more or less to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally try to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, we wake up, we go to the can, we go to the gym, we go skate for fucking 7 hours. Go
if 7 hours in an average day.
Like the average day, we'll get to the park around 11.
And you went to the gym first.
Yeah, we'll leave there around like 5 or 6 or something.
And then you stay out late partying quite often,
no,
or no, not so much anymore.
No, not anymore, not so much. It's like I pick and choose my battles.
Right. Like, yeah, you got to after a while. Yeah.
Damn right, I want to have
this
some fun.
This is a battle.
You know
this
mean?
Is a damn
is a
battle.
Fucking, this is an endurance contest.
Well, you're not gonna have to do a tray flip tomorrow either.
You know what I mean? Like,
no tray flips tomorrow.
No,
zero.
No skateboarding expected at all. We're literally, if you walk outside this studio, it is dirt outside.
Yeah,
like,
no. Yeah.
There's a pool and whatever else. Yeah, we.
If
got,
you brought
we
your skateboard and we're doing a tray flip in the parking lot
need,
tomorrow, I would be
I
like,
mean,
this guy's
I'm
doing too
right
much.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Theotis, though, on the other hand, though, he'd be out in the parking lot and be like, I got to do my 25 kick flips and my fucking.
You've seen this?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he.
He's got to do it every day, really.
Every
That's
gas
cool.
station we stop at, like, it's just some, you know, they got the bug.
Yeah.
And when you got the bug, you can't stop.
That's
I,
cool. I respect
unfortunately,
that.
I need to stretch, get my shit in order before I go out there and try to act a maniac anymore. But yeah, I mean, our average day is pretty fucking on it. And then there'll be an hour of answering emails and doing whatever. But I just
an hour
say,
of answering emails. You got it easy, buddy.
Oh, my God. My life is fucking gold, baby. I ain't even lying.
Alfredo's doing 15 hours of emails
a
day.
I live a seven-day weekend. I'm fucking hyped on everything I do. I have no regrets in anything. Mm. I don't give a fuck. And that's how it is. Like,
so you say you have such an obsessive personality. Is there going to come a moment where you're just like, you know what? Skateboarding ain't doing it anymore. I'm a motherfucking stamp collector. And you're 50 years old and you just completely do a 180.
You know what? I've heard of that. There was this pro skateboarder named Bastion that he had a dickology, which was a real fucking.
What's that?
So his psychiatrist told the fucking company that he had a real disease. It's called a dickology. It's where when you get on something, you get so addicted to it, you just forget about everything.
Oh,
else.
Okay, a dickology. Not dictology.
No,
okay.
Not dictology.
No, I kind of feel like I'm like that too, man. You should have seen how much Pokemon Go I played.
And he just stopped one day.
Really? Yeah.
Never skated.
Yeah.
Like, just went right into guitar to the point where he lost everything and whatever. And I mean, that was a trip to me.
Yeah.
I personally don't think that my madness is that far.
Right.
Like, I know that no matter what happens at the end of the day, what I love more than anything, what's got me out of fucking the worst situations, what's got me into the best situations, which is broken bones, done this, but it's still at the end of the day, you know, you don't fucking go through as many rehabs and work as hard as I have to just give up something in your life. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is my life.
Right.
Forever and ever and ever.
It's beautiful. Well put. You are a guy who, I'm assuming throughout your life, you've gotten a prolific amount of ass. Now you have a girlfriend, you're trying to chill out. How's that? You hit a wall where you're like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't just keep fucking shoving my dick in random people.
True story.
People. Not even girls, just anyone.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming.
There was a point. Yeah, there was just anybody. Hey, we were skateboarders. Whoa. Come on. In the 90s?
Yeah.
There was no such thing as bad bitches that liked us. This was just women-ish.
The Wendy's cashier.
That liked us.
The Wendy's cashier. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to even hate on one of those fucking gorgeous people that work faster. Then, I mean, that's a bucket list fantasy is like full McDonald's outfit.
Right.
Up. It's almost like lingerie, but just so sexy.
It's almost like lingerie. I wish we had an image of what a McDonald's uniform actually looks like so we can compare it to lingerie right now.
Lingerie,
right.
Cheeseburger that you can just pick off the side,
right.
Or the back or something like that. Like,
well, you know, I had an experience when I was maybe like 22, 23, where I hooked up with this girl. I wake up in the morning, she's already like dressed for work, but she worked at Staples, so she's got like the red long sleeve
exactly
collared shirt.
Staples shout out.
That
right
was
now.
Not easy for me to lay eyes upon, bro. We're almost done. We gotta wrap it up. Are we at an hour? Oh my god, I can't believe that just flew by.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to be honest. I usually do these interviews pretty sober, but this time not so much.
My salty chocolate balls kind of slowly.
Hey, Brayden, this has been great. I did not expect that our interview would go down like this. And this is also the first interview I've done in almost 2 months, bro.
Welcome back, dude.
I'm back.
Popped your cherry.
People can't believe that we're friends, but we're on the block together. So,
yeah.
You know, we're banging
me
Melrose.
Fucking Adam 22.
Yeah, he doesn't even really get what I do. There was a vlog where he was asking this girl, like, so what does he do?
Did you record that?
It was in the vlog, yeah.
Okay, well, you don't understand. There was, in 30 minutes, it was fucking 3 to 4 cars that pulled over groups of women that were jumping out like, can I take a photo with you? You're Adam 22.
When you're
oh
a YouTuber,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, blew my mind.
Yeah, I can't tray flip,
me,
but
I just thought you were this tattooed thug, you know, moving on the block.
I'm that, too. I'm all of the above. Braden, they want us to wrap it up. Thank you so much for your No Jumper appearance. I want to have
no
you
jumper,
co-host.
Thank you so much.
Think of somebody, and you can like co-host, and we'll interview somebody together, one of your homies.
Oh,
somebody
got,
you fuck
I got
with,
lots
you know?
Lots of people, you know what I mean? I fucks with lots of people.
We fucks. Anyway, thank you very much to Weed Maps. Thank you very much to everybody at
Weed Maps,
Coachella
Weed
who
Maps,
allowed
Skate,
us to happen. Yeah.
Coachella 2017, fucking No Jumper, everything above. Adam 22, Braden Safransky. Find us on our Instagram or whatever else. Good times.
Shout out to these things. Cured Joints, West Coast Cure.
West Coast Cure.
Cured Joints.
Definitely.
Weed Maps, kushmaps.com. Peace.